Hello, kids. Internet.
Good evening.
Greetings, Internet.
Look at us.
Greetings, interweb.
All in the same place.
Of all the nets on Earth, I like the internets the best.
All in the same place on the internet.
All hail Al Gore and his magical internet of wonder.
I'm telling you, man, that Al Gore, he
has dropped off the face of the earth, Al Gore. They are like hiding him away somewhere.
Which is pretty impressive considering how big he's gotten.
Well, that's true.
They were worried about his gravitational pull affecting the.
He is a chubby bunny.
Al found the Twinkies. Once he lost to George Bush, once he lost to the drooling idiot cowboy.
He went as soon as he got his ass kicked in the race, and he won his Nobel Peace Prize. He went right back to his fighting weight.
his fighting weight.
His judo weight.
Oh God.
No need for him to sit in that hot box anymore.
He looked like a giant orange thumb.
Oh, speaking of giant Al Gore and his fatness, Michelle Obama announced, I don't know if it was today or, I don't know, I saw in the news today that, what was it? Being overweight was the biggest national security threat?
For her?
Everybody? What?
Mitt Romney.
Yeah, she said.
Has she been paying attention?
Yeah, she said being overweight was the biggest national security problem.
Honey, pay attention. It was especially like, you know, like post 9/11. Oh yeah.
How high did she have to be to say that?
I don't even.
Yeah, Barry must be. He must be sharing the good stuff.
That's like a question mark profit sort of statement. Okay, so step one, people get really, really fat and eat a lot of Twinkies. Step two, question mark. Step three, national security breach.
I think there's even like step two, step three, step four. There's mm-hmm. like a good huge yeah. leap there. I don't even understand it.
So let's say, let's say I've been working hard to keep my weight down. Let's say I just kind of let shit go and let it all hang out. Okay. So now I'm like, 250 again and I'm chunky. All right. Now how is it that like suddenly now I start mailing my, mailing military secrets to the Chinese?
Oh, no. See, you have to understand the government owns your health care now. So if you're fat, you're costing the government money that it can't spend on security.
Oh, okay.
That's diabolical.
That's me.
Hey, guess what?
I know.
It is.
Weird.
It's the Squirrel Report. And it's Thursday the 13th, so don't let any beige cats walk across your path. And don't walk over a ladder.
I was waiting for Brita to say chicken butt, but she didn't.
Guess what? Chicken butt. Yeah, sorry, I missed it. I'm tired.
Brita, pardon why? Me?
What?
Why?
Chicken thigh.
Yeah!
Yay!
This is the best show ever.
I'm having a nice racist peanut butter and jelly sandwich while we're
talking. Ooh, yummy.
Ooh, hey.
It's chock full of racism. You know why? I figured it out. You know why? Who invented peanut butter? George Washington Carver, a black man. There you go. That's your racism.
That's right.
There you go.
It's becoming race. It's like because race gun, because racism.
It is the boy who cried wolf now in politics.
It's a floor wax.
People are not buying it anymore.
Hey guys, I'm drinking rum. Do you know why?
You're racist.
Because you're a racist. Because
I'm a racist.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
I've had people at the library call me racist for like. These stupidest things, and I just look at them racist. And of course I can't say what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, well, if I wasn't racist before,
yeah,
you're not helping. But I don't even think people know what it means anymore. It's just
it means I don't like you.
Yeah, You disagree with me, therefore you're racist.
Yeah, did you? I mean, shut the shut up and quit. You know.
Yeah. It's a bully thing. People bully. It's a bullying move. You know. Oh, yeah. You're a racist, and so you're supposed to feel bad, and oh no, I'm not a racist. Oh, I'm so sorry. No. You know what? Sure, I'm a racist. Okay. I hate you especially.
Just embrace your racism. That's it.
That's right.
I'm an equal opportunity hater.
That's right. We hate everybody.
Pretty much.
We don't hate them based on their race or their religion or their gender. We hate them because they're stupid and they're assholes.
Yeah.
And the world would be a better place if they stepped out in front of a Metro bus.
You want to explain, it was in the topics this evening, you want to go ahead and explain the whole racist peanut butter and jelly thing, where that came from? Because people are probably thinking, what?
That's from
Metro. I want to see if Jake can explain it.
it's from, I know this will come as a big shock, California. I actually blogged it a couple of days ago because it just like, what color is the sky?
What
the hell was that? I've heard some stupid things in my time yesterday. Yeah, the peanut butter sandwich. What about Somali or Hispanic students who might not eat sandwiches? So that makes it racist because you don't know what something is.
It's yes, that's right.
Obviously racism. Why? Yes, that makes perfect sense. You know what? I'm not clear on what a didgeridoo is. So obviously Australians are racist.
Only if they're
you
white.
You know what? The fact is that we're
racism
not...
racism by free association.
We're not stopping little Hispanic children from eating sandwiches. See, well, and they're free to have a sandwich.
The best part is this woman's district, the woman who set that, they set up a minority-only drum club.
Oh.
Where only minority children, white children, were turned away. And she said, and I quote, when white people do it, it's not a problem. But if it's for kids of color, then it's a problem. Break it down for me. That's your white privilege and your whiteness. At that point, I would have made national news because I would have gone over the table at this stupid bent. Are you shitting me? When white people do it, it's not a problem. Are you fucking for real? Try. I fucking dare you. Try to set up a drum club for white kids only. Holy shit.
They do the Black Student Union
out of
in college.
Cop into your district.
They do the Black Student Union in colleges, right?
Right.
And the Mexican Student Union and the Asian Student Union.
Black people can't be racist.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. Unless they're Republicans.
Yeah. Jay, if they hate you because you're white, and that also includes thinking that Jay is white, they're doing it because that's correct. They have every right to hate you, Jay, because you personally enslaved them.
I personally enslaved.
Let's mix history around just a little bit. And your grandfather actually worked for the Klan.
my grandfather, are you kidding me? He actually owned slaves.
Actually, you know what, Jay? Given your ancestry, your ancestors probably did own slaves.
Yeah, at some point.
They were just from Gaul.
That's why.
Hey.
That's why reparations scare the shit out of me. I'm like, Christ, I'm a woman. We owe everybody something. My Christ. Oh, yep, we killed him too.
Yep. That's right. You're screwed.
And also, I gotta love like the thing is like, yeah, we've got to kowtow to all this, you know, talk of racism and reparations and all that because blacks were slaves and yada, yada, yada. But yet the Jews, we just got to ignore them because, you know, even though they were slaves. And if you count the horrendous stuff of the Holocaust, even more recently than blacks were slaves, that's
still people alive.
We have to ignore that because once we freed them, they went and, like, started running banks in Hollywood and becoming successful stand-up comedians and running delis and doing other fantastic things that, you know, made them not be downtrodden people.
Getting on with their lives, yeah.
Yeah.
There was only a pogrom aimed at eliminating their entire, you know, their entire religion from the planet within people who are still living today's lifetimes. There are still people today who were alive. I mean, my parents. Both of my parents were born before World War II ended, so they were alive when this was going on.
Even better, like, you know, Sanjay Gupta is darker than many black people that you know, out there. But, you know,
I'm darker than a lot of black people out there. Especially after a summer in Texas.
And that's not even counting Jay.
I actually had two friends in college who were black that I was darker than. And I'm looking. One of them, her name was Kaylee, and we were joking around. I walked up and I put my arm next to hers, and I'm like, "I'm darker than you, but you're getting financial aid, and I'm not. Where's the justice?" Fortunately, she saw the humor and didn't like stab me or report me to the authorities.
You're lucky. But,
yeah, it was interesting. All right, does this make any sense?
Well, that just kind of highlights the whole ridiculousness of it. I mean, she was born the same as you in this country. You know, we're all born equal here.
I remember reading an account from a World War II veteran, and he was talking about when he was during World War II, he was serving over in Europe, and he was talking about all these Portuguese soldiers that he was working with, and he said they were all, you know, he was of African heritage, and all these Portuguese soldiers were darker than he was. But he's like, but they are considered white.
Yep. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. But, you know, since when does racism ever make sense?
Well, it makes sense to people who are making
profiting
money
from it.
Yeah, making money and getting votes from it. It makes perfect sense. Gosh, you know, I want to invite, we have a whole bunch of stuff to cover tonight, but I did want to announce the call-in topic for this
callers,
evening.
We need call-in. Yes, thanks to Weird.
Yeah. Weird, I want to hear your story. Weird has been missing in action for 2 weeks, 1 week? I can't remember.
Just one week.
You went to Costa Rica.
I did.
And while you were there,
I saw a sloth.
While you were there, there was an earthquake.
Yes.
Right? And so on Facebook, this is really funny that Miguel, is he on the online yet? Oh, he's not even on the show.
He's
Where's Miguel?
Even,
I'm
he's
hurt.
Fired is what he is.
Fired. Wow.
He's fired.
I'm revoking your privileges.
Wow.
Totally. But while you were there, there was the earthquake, and Miguel put on Facebook something about the Mayans are ramping up for, you know, kind of that sort of thing. And my first reaction was, oh, no, save the sloths. And then I thought, wait, Weird's there, too. Save Weird. I'm sorry. I didn't think of you first. Costa Rica, to me, is sloths. So tell me first the sloth story.
Talk to Brita about sloths.
I was actually disappointed in the sloth encounters because I only saw one sloth. It could have been that I saw a whole lot of sloths, but I just missed them because they're just green lumps hanging.
They were being slothly.
I believe the term is
slovenly.
Alan, what's your native tongue?
I don't know.
It's obviously not.
My native tongue is blah, 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 blah.
He speaks Texas.
He speaks fluent George W. Bush.
Say insurance.
Yeah, no, we were
Alan,
driving.
Alan, say insurance.
Say
wait,
what?
Hold on. Alan, say insurance.
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 That's
okay. Go on, Weird.
All right, yeah, so. You bastards. How dare you?
He speaks Texican. Thanks, John.
We were driving from San Jose, where we flew into, out to Tortuguero, where it was that was our first real stay, and that was like way out in the damn jungle. That was pretty cool. That was a seriously like you know Apocalypse Now / Heart of Darkness sort of experience going down the river through all this jungle. But on the way there, we were just driving through cow pastures, and suddenly the van pulls over, and the guy gets out and says, "Everyone, bring your cameras." And there was a two-toed sloth up in the tree eating leaves.
Cool.
Which before he gets away.
He said allegedly that the two toads are only active at night, but this guy didn't get the memo.
He was rabid.
Oh, god damn.
My ear. Okay.
Bacon.
So they just... That was it? That was your sloth experience?
That was my sloth experience. He was like 15 feet up in a tree and I didn't even get to give him pet pets.
That's...
I'm disappointed.
Yeah, that is kind of disappointing.
I was disappointed too. I thought I would be able to give them pet pets.
You should have like scheduled a visit to the sloth like sanctuary or something, and
sloth emporium,
the sloth habitat.
Yeah. I did schedule a visit to the sloth sanctuary. It's called Costa Rica.
And then there was an earthquake.
So you were on the other side of the country, though, right?
Not quite. I was at the base of the Arenal volcano.
Oh. And
the earthquake was over in the What's Her Face Peninsula. I don't know the country.
Good enough. What's Her Face Peninsula? Go ahead.
Yeah. So we were a good bit inland, probably, I don't know, maybe like 100 miles from the epicenter. And I guess allegedly the reason why
only like the size of Maine, isn't it?
It's kind of tiny. We saw both the Pacific and the Pacific Ocean and the Caribbean Sea while we were there.
Cool.
And
did the sun come up and go down in the water?
Yes, on different nights though.
That's pretty. Oh, that's still pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, I watched the sunset on the ocean, and I watched the sunrise over the ocean. And both times it was attached to a continent.
And you walked from one side of the hotel to the other to see it, right?
it's not that skinny.
One side of the sloth to the other.
So when the earthquake happened, was there mass chaos? Was there anything happening?
No, it really was super duper. It was super anticlimactic. It was kind of cool.
Oh,
because it was one of those things of I'd actually just finished like talking to Wally and Brad because I'd gotten on a computer and was just checking my email, and then the van showed up and I said, "Okay, guys, gotta go." And then 20 minutes later, the earthquake hit. So I'm like, "Oh man, I wonder what they're thinking." And
last people to talk to him alive.
So we were driving in Costa Rica, and Costa Rica is pretty much a third world country. So we're driving in a van across what passes for roads in Costa Rica. So that is, hemorrhoid-inducing road bumps. And then suddenly the driver – and, of course, I was way in the back in the shitty seat, so I didn't get a particularly good view of anything.
You're right over the exhaust leak.
Exactly. It helped me sleep. But so suddenly – The driver said something in Spanish and pulled over to the side of the road and just stopped the van, and the van was still bumping. And my wife turned to me and she goes, "What's going on?" I said, "The van stopped and we're still bouncing around." I actually first thought, I said, "It's an earthquake. I think the volcano's erupting."
Oh no.
And I mean, we could see rocks tumbling down the side of the volcano, which is pretty much, Arenal volcano doesn't erupt like liquid magma. It just dumps like hot rocks and gas and, smothers the cows. And so we thought it was the volcano erupting, and that's what a bunch of people thought. And then we just kept driving to our destination, and it wasn't all that hairy. Just, ever so often we'd have to pull over to the other side of the road because there'd be a slide over the road from, the mud and rocks falling down the sides of the cliff. And that's pretty much what we saw, was a lot of rock slides.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And, I got some pictures up on my blog and my little Costa Rica post, is I got a few pictures from the ocean of just these big sea cliffs. And you just see all this fresh dirt going down the side of it. Cause a big chunk of the cliff just rolled off into the ocean when the quake hit. And so we got there. We got there, you know, all finest kind, even though we did stop halfway through for, you know, for a bathroom and snack break. And it was at a little convenience store and they had a TV going. And it was like, okay, we might be kind of going into pandemonium. This might get ugly. We're going right to the, because I saw where we were going and I saw where the epicenter was. And I'm like, ooh, we might be going into the belly of the beast here. And, you know, when we got there, the hotel was all, you know, it was just, it took us forever to get checked in because the key card printer was all screwed up. And so, like, they ended up, like, sending a bellboy up with us to unlock our rooms and let us in and just letting us know that when we walked out, we'd be locked out of our rooms. And we ended up getting upgraded in our hotel because the building we were supposed to be staying in was damaged by the earthquake. The big, you'd see a lot of cracks in walls and things like that. But the biggest thing was a lot of the roofs are those terracotta roof tiles, and those guys just walk right off the edge of the roof. And there, that's got to do some damage when they fall like four stories.
That's got to hurt. That's gonna leave a mark.
Ouch.
But yeah, and then really the big deal was, you know, we got there, we'd been on the road all day, and we were all like really hungry, and so we're like, all right, let's go out and get some food. And so there was a ton of places all around, and you know, some of them were, you know, I wanted to be eating the authentic, you know, authentic Costa Rican food, A, because it's delicious, and B, why the hell did I, you know, why would I go all the way to Costa Rica to eat pizza and Wendy's?
Here you went to Costa Rica with the Chili's for dinner.
They had, that was the first thing we saw when we got out of the airport, like right outside the airport in San Jose. There's a Denny's. Fuck yeah!
You can get a Costa Rican deli dinger.
Get a grand slam, Costa Rica style.
Moons over my hammy.
Moons over my hammy. You can get a Rudy Tooty breakfast.
So I mean, like the big deal was like we walked in, you know, we got there at lunchtime or a little bit after lunchtime and went across the street to like, you know, a place where like nobody spoke English in the whole restaurant. And pretty much like we got the impression that, you know, we had one choice for lunch, and within our choice we could choose if we wanted chicken, beef, fish, or pork.
Puerco.
As the meat with it. And that was fine because that was all what we wanted anyway. So we got our rice and beans and our plantains. Rice and beans every meal. It's awesome.
And plantains.
Every
meal. Just like reach out the window and cut them off the vine for you, or
as a matter of fact, they pretty much do.
It's cool.
There's like it's ridiculous. You'll see like papaya trees growing in like drainage ditches.
They just stick with them.
Oh, there's just bananas fucking everywhere, and papaya trees and pineapples, and it's one of those, like, I did not know I liked fruit juice that much. There's no from concentrate, because from concentrate would be too expensive. It's all just, they just grab whatever's ripe right now and mash the fuck out of it. But the big issue was prune trees. Yeah, when we left for dinner, there was a pizza place like right beside the hotel. And we decided, you know what, let's just go grab pizza. You know, that's simple. That's easy. We're all hungry. We're cranky. We're tired. The hotel's getting their shit, you know, shit together from the earthquake. Let's get some pizza and then turn in. And so we went into the pizza place. Well, that's another thing. Costa Rica doesn't actually have inside. Inside doesn't exist in Costa Rica.
What? What do you mean?
There's outside, and there's outside with a roof over you. Like every restaurant is just, you know, is just a open, you know, open establishment with like a roof.
And it's pretty much to keep the roof tiles from landing on you when they fall off.
Yeah. There's almost you'll be driving down the neighborhood, the houses, like it seems like the first thing someone does when they wake up in the morning is they open their front door. And just like the front door will be wide open. No screen doors, no nothing. Just open the door, open the windows, and let the air in. But we walked off the sidewalk onto the pizza place and sat down, and the guy told us no pizza, it's too late. And it's like seven in the evening.
Wow.
It's like, huh? So So I went down to like another place, and you know, we found another restaurant, and we sat down, and they're like, no food today. We're like, okay. Finally went to one place, and the guy's like, you know, he's like, look, we can cook you appetizers and hamburgers and things like that, but we can't do our main menu, because after the earthquake, pretty much everyone just stayed home that day. So they didn't have any of their kitchen staff. So he said, okay, thank you. And instead of just letting us go, the guy just poured us some ridiculously stiff strawberry daiquiri that was like, you know, five parts alcohol with a strawberry dipped in it. And you could just walk out. You can drink on the sidewalk in Costa Rica. You can drink on the sidewalk.
Woohoo!
Nice.
You can't smoke. So it's like Vegas.
But you can't smoke anywhere.
Oh.
Really?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
And that call-in number, 214-530-0036.
We haven't even announced the topic, the call-in topic.
Yeah, that's pretty much my earthquake story, so take it away, Brita.
Excellent earthquake story. Our call-in topic is about, have you survived a natural disaster? I really haven't.
You mean besides my life?
Yes, besides your life. It has to be
and
like
you,
an
And accident. You have to have a better story than mine, because mine kind of sucks.
No, yours is actually really, really good. I have lived through earthquakes. Northeast Ohio, believe it or not, we get earthquakes pretty often. It's kind of like one of those weird, they're not big earthquakes, but the first earthquake I can remember was in sixth grade. I was in science class, and I remember my science teacher, we had the earthquake, we're on the second floor, and of course, you know, everything was all, you know, rumbling around, and my science teacher got so excited.
Oh my God,
it's an earthquake. You know, we were all freaked out, but she was so excited about it because it was cool. And, you know, nothing really happened. Things fell off the shelf and, you know, but Northeast Ohio, we get a lot of earthquakes. Apparently there's a fault somewhere under the lake or something.
It's all because of union action.
Well, you know, there is the Hellmouth in Cleveland, so.
Yes, actually, yeah, technically. I know exactly where that is.
Hey,
and it's near the lake.
We have a caller.
Excellent.
No way.
Yeah, way. It's
no way.
It's roadkill.
No way.
Yes, way. It's either roadkill or it's Sean, and he stole roadkill's phone again.
Uh-oh.
He does that. You gotta watch out for him.
Hello, Wax. And yep. Rita, my delicious little chalk. It's been too long, my pet.
Rita always gets so giggly when Sean shows up.
My travails and suffering to the great Hooker flood of 74. You see, there was something happened at the local prophylactic factory. And there were hookers everywhere. I don't understand why. But it was the street just covered in them. They were about chest high. I have waded through it for miles. And damn it, by the time I got out of there, I had syphilis four times.
No. That's a natural disaster.
It
That's
is.
That's for sure.
But fortunately, it didn't get all my penis. It's too big. You have to at least take 10 cases of syphilis to take that.
I have not had enough beer for this show.
I'm not sure there is enough beer for this show.
That's true. How are you tonight, Roadkill?
Oh, let me get Roadkill on the phone. One moment, please.
I think I hang out with crazy people. I like it, but, you know.
Hi. Actually, I do have a natural disaster story for you.
Cool. Good.
I was one of the survivors of the great Kentucky ice storm from a few years back.
Oh.
That was quite a wretched experience for all of us involved. While some important, you know, rulers of our country were sitting around stuffing down Kobe $200 per pound steak, you know, we were freezing our butts off trying to save the cold stock in the Walmart.
Yeah.
I was at work when it happened. It happened at night.
You could have just opened the doors, right?
Do what?
You could have just opened the doors, right?
No, unfortunately, it didn't work out like that. We took most of the cold stock. We closed up the freezers and basically taped them shut. But we took the cold stock from all the cold cases and the dairy cases and whatnot, and we put them out on the patio for lawn and garden. And we did this all night. Instead of going home and stuff, we did it all night. And fortunately, that night, we had had a potluck. So we were all really good for food for a while. And we got all the stock that we could out to the patio. And so it was fine for, you know, it was freezing cold the entire time. And it would have lasted for days and days out there.
If it wasn't for those pesky kids.
The manager turned on the heater out on the patio.
Oh, no.
And we lost all the stock. And, of course, we didn't get bonuses for like a damn near a year because of the, we lost, you know, how much did we lose, Terry?
Is he at work?
No, he's asking his wife, I bet.
At least $50,000 worth of stock.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, man. That is weird, though, when you're living through, like, a really, really cold period. I remember there was a period, I think it was 1993 or 4, and it was... I was living in Kent at the time, and it was like 40, the wind chill was like 40 below. It was insane. It was so cold. And I remember I went to a gas station with some friends of mine, and I was sitting in the car freezing because you just couldn't get warm. And I looked, and there was like a cooler outside, and it had like, you know, Cokes in it and like bottled water and stuff. And I'm thinking, it's warmer in there than it is in here. It was just so strange because it's like, you know, but people don't think about, people think about like, you know, earthquakes and hurricanes and, but really it's almost like a bad winter is a natural disaster in itself, you know, because, you know, feet of snow overnight, it's crazy.
Well, yeah, that lake effect snow is freaky.
Yeah, it is. It is freaky. You know, you could wake up and have 2 feet of snow in your driveway.
And then what do you do?
Shovel.
Snow.
Yeah, my dad would say there's an awful lot of snow out there. You better get going.
Yeah, start shoveling.
I mean, to walk outside and not be snow weighting everything down, but everything is covered, encased in ice.
Yes, ice, you know, is the worst.
And weighted down to the ground.
Yep. Yeah, ice storms are the worst.
Oh yeah, no, there was a big ice storm in New England, and because it just happened to be because of the topography, it missed my house completely. So we just got like rain, and it really wasn't that big a deal, but just a little bit north. Jay, did you get hit by that big ice storm?
No, we managed to miss it. I think we're close enough to the ocean that it just peered out when it got this way.
That's weird. Because just a little bit north of us, just suddenly it just went from just a dreary, you know, snowless winter day to suddenly just like everything was crystal and like there was no power anywhere. And it was one of those things I just hadn't even thought about that. And I'd forgotten. I just assumed that I could go fill my truck up at the gas station. And I'm like, we may run out of gas. And when we run out of gas, there ain't going to be any cell service because the cell towers are all dead, too.
Yep.
Right.
Hey, thanks for calling Roadkill. We got a couple more people lined up.
Oh, no way.
Yep.
One does not miss.
Oops.
I missed this
something
last
weirder,
one.
Weirder, though.
What?
You have, you know, power's out everywhere. Everything's encased in ice. But 7 a.m. in the morning when we're getting ready to leave, people are coming in expecting donuts to be made at the store.
How dare you not have their donuts? Were you
retired?
I got very mad about it.
I bet.
Oh, Alan, that was horrible. Don't ever attempt a Massachusetts accent again.
That was a Texas accent.
Thanks for calling, Roadkill.
I'm going to start talking.
Have a good weekend. All right. Here we go. This is area code 763, which I have no idea where that is. Hello, 763.
763, that's me.
Yes, it is you.
Hello.
It's Joat.
Joat.
Hey, Joat, I have to tell you, I got your package.
Wow, it's Joat.
You got a package from him, too?
I got a package from Joat, and it scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, he does that.
Let me just preface this. I have a post office box. You can find it on my old blog. You can find the address of my old blog. And sometimes people out of the blue will send me things. And I went to my post office box today, and I found this little box, and it was really heavy, and I'm thinking, what the hell's in here? First, I thought it was like ammo. I'm like, oh my God, somebody sent me ammo through the mail. What are they thinking? It wouldn't have been the first time, mind you.
It was wrapped.
It was wrapped and perfectly good box. But I started opening it, and I was, like, scared. I'm like, what is this? And I felt kind of metal. I'm like, oh, my God, it's like a bomb or something. But I opened it up, and it was the cutest little squirrel thing, a metal little squirrel. He's really cute.
You should put pictures on the...
I will.
It's tap wraps. That squirrel showed up with a box of stuff on my dad's porch from one of his neighbors. People have learned that my dad will take random things and sell it, and uh-huh. So stuff will they'll be gone, and stuff will appear at his house. So it just showed up on his porch in a box of random stuff, and I was like, "Oh, I know I can send this to."
So you took money out of Joat's dad's pocket.
Oh.
Just think about
it. Awesome.
I feel bad, but I really love it. I will find a good place for it.
Joat's dad.
I just wanted to call him to make sure you check your P.O. box. So
that was fun. That was a fun. On the same day, I got a T-shirt from the FBI.
Thanks for calling, Joat.
All right. Goodbye.
Thanks, Joat.
FBI?
Yeah, I got an FBI T-shirt. I'm wearing it right now. It's awesome.
Ah, forever bothering Italians.
That too.
Well,
that was one of my dad's favorites when he was, you know, on the state police. That and fumbling idiots. But
I had another caller, but
who'd you hang up on?
Oh,
it was J.B. Miller.
Oh, man.
He'll call back. I clicked accept, and it went bloop and went away.
Yeah. Blame your equipment, just like Obama blaming the iPhone.
Actually, he didn't blame the iPhone. He blamed the iPhone's owner.
Oh. Yeah, it must be their fault. It was George W. Bush.
Ah, here we go. I knew he'd call back.
Hello,
J.B. Miller.
Okay, so my
J.B. Miller.
Greetings all.
Hello.
Greetings all.
I know that dude.
Anyway, my natural disaster story. This happened about 15 or 16 years ago, and it was during one of those freak hailstorms that you hear periodically on Weather Channel, where suddenly there's hailstones the size of baseballs.
Oh, God.
Well, I don't think I've ever ran so fast in my life. Once it started, and they started slowly getting bigger and bigger, and then once they're the size of a dime, you start worrying about being killed. So I ran into a building and got undercover as I was watching all of these giant balls would start bouncing on the sidewalk, and they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's incredible. And, you know, we were all inside. We were, you know, worried about the building we were in and stuff. But finally, eventually, it subsided, and we were going out there and lifting up these baseball-sized pieces of hail. We're all laughing to ourselves. And I walked back to my car, and my car is totaled.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
The windshield and the back window are completely look like they were buckshot.
Wow.
Seriously.
Yikes.
Every upper surface of the car looked like it had been ball peen hammer had been taken to it.
Oh, man. Gosh.
For the whole car. And I was so pissed off. And so I drive home, you know, trying to figure out how the hell I was going to explain this to my wife. And I get home only to find that my house has been battered just as badly.
Oh, wow.
Windows broken all over. It actually turned out to be $30,000 worth of damage.
Wow.
Because we had aluminum siding on our house.
Oops.
And it looked like somebody had, it's like in the movies where like thousands of people are like shooting at your house.
Wow.
It really was comical how dented everything was in the house. And that house had the transom windows that kind of has a little crank that you wing out, that you always love so much because you can have the windows open. If it rains, you know, the rain comes off of them. Well, hailstones the size of baseballs, not so much.
Right through.
Yeah. So that's my biggest natural disaster story.
Yikes.
And actually, the unfunny part was there was people killed when that
Old hunk of ice like that hits you after at terminal velocity. It's gonna do some damage.
You say, hailstones the size of dimes. I was thinking hailstones the size of bullets.
Yeah, definitely bullet size. And those are the ones that are hitting me. And it turned out I ended up having all these bruises all over my shoulders and stuff that I didn't even think about till like the next day. And but a lot of people were injured in the thing. A lot of people's pets were killed. You know, it was really, really unfortunate. You know, people that leave, you know, have their dogs outside or in open top kennels and stuff like that. It was really, really not good. Hmm. And a big freak thing. It was so weird to actually see it because I had seen it on TV so many times and it just never seemed all that real. So that's my story.
Cool. That's a pretty good disaster.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, and I got a new car out of it, too.
Was it fast?
So,
let's say that again.
Was it a fast car?
No. It was a pretty sucky car.
So is it really a natural disaster if you wound up better off afterwards? Doesn't sound like much of a
disaster.
Oh, I just, is it really a natural disaster if you wound up better off afterwards?
I don't know. Insurance paid for all the damage on the house, too.
Yeah.
Which we sold not long after that, which was good. Good brand new siding.
Fool. What are the odds of another house you own getting destroyed by hail? Like statistically zero.
Yeah, one can only hope.
All I need is an ice maker and a leaf blower.
Yeah.
And a lot of time. Yeah.
But I'm going to start a business. I'll be rich. Weird Beards Insurance Fraud. Don't worry, folks. We'll make it look like an accident.
So, Saul, how do you start a flood?
Oh, God.
Oh, goodness, yes.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, JB.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye. So,
Before we go on,
yeah,
I believe that JB Miller forgot to mention that he's having there's a Wounded Warrior. Let me see what the date is. Wounded Warrior blog shoot fundraiser. I don't know what date it is. Somebody tell me what date it is. It's September something.
The hell was that?
I don't know.
It was like crash, kaboom.
It was not me. What is that?
It's
Alan,
a sound effect. For
Alan,
the...
you're cut off from the sound effects.
It's
no. Stop it.
It's for the Wounded Warrior.
Alan, go sit in the naughty chair. Go sit in the naughty chair. We'll tell you when you're sorry.
September 22nd.
September 22nd. You're having a Wounded Warrior. Wounded Warrior is like well, you know, obviously because it's like, hey, all the amputees have to, we're all in the secret club, you know.
Wounded Warrior is actually a really good.
It is. And they do great stuff.
Where's the location of this going to be?
I don't know.
Well, I'm asking the chat. Internet, tell me. Yes. No computer.
Or you could just hello, try J.B. Miller's blog. I'm sure
don't,
he has.
There's a delay weird, so you got to give him time to catch up.
Hurry up, computer!
Or you could do that whole Google thing. I hear that's the shiznit.
Yeah.
No, I can't do that. I'd have to tell
you. No, you said it wrong for you, Alan. It's the Googles. Come on.
The Googles. Well, speaking of charity things, let's talk about kilts.
Kilts, yes.
Yeah,
kilts.
Yay!
Because it's a kilty kind of month.
I heard from everybody
recently, oh my gosh, my 5.11 kilt is being shipped. So congratulations to all you guys with your kilts being shipped from 5.11.
Finally,
I want to see pictures.
Brita doesn't care about the shipping announcement. She just wants the pictures.
Damn it.
I've been posting pictures, thank you very much.
I know, Jay. I see them on my Facebook.
But, Jay, you've got to remember that Brita doesn't like President Obama. Therefore, she's racist, and therefore
you're too brown.
That's right.
Too brown.
Or something, right. I don't know.
She's not interested in your kind.
Wow.
Brita only likes those of the alabaster skin.
Yeah. Painted blue. Dark, please.
Painted blue.
Anyway.
So anyway, the kilt. There's the it's not just wearing kilts though. It's there's another thing, right, Jay?
What's that?
Oh God. Am I gonna have to yank it out of you?
What?
Your
cause. Aren't you having some kind of, you know, give us money thing?
Jay, what are you?
Why are you wearing a kilt, Jay?
it's raising money and awareness for kilted to get cancer.
Okay.
There you go. Okay.
Why is Alan asking me this? Oh wait, go on, bot at this. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Obviously.
Jay, since you normally wear pantaloons, does it take you a little while for your hog to get used to the kilt?
It's weird. It's weird because there's no support whatsoever, and
oh,
it's just
God.
Like, you're gonna bump. What the hell is going on down there?
Do you gotta build up a little callus from the wool?
Okay.
No, I'm sure he's got enough calluses already.
Yeah. Yeah, that's on my hands, though. But no, the weirdest part is utilizing the facilities. It's both much easier and much more difficult.
Do you sit down like a girl?
I do not sit down like a girl. I just stand
like a woman. You just pull the front up and tuck it under your chin.
Bingo. What?
That's what? Right.
Oh, God.
Bite down.
Yeah. The problem is you have to drip dry.
That's right.
Oh,
well, you can hold the kilt up with one hand and, you know, give the old handshake with the other.
Yep.
Or you could just let the absorbent wool take care.
No. Oh God.
No matter how many times you shake it, that last drop goes right down your leg.
Okay.
That's true. So anyway, that call-in number.
Yes, please.
214-530-0036.
We have almost an hour left. Oh, a little over an hour left, actually.
Yeah, we do. Actually,
other topics.
Yeah,
stuff has happened this week. If you haven't noticed,
we do have other topics, and we've kind of been avoiding it because, ugh.
What? Yeah, it's not a happy, fun topic.
No, it's not a happy, fun topic. Although, you know, the suck and fail that is Barack Obama is kind of becoming hilarious.
Racist.
Yes.
That's it. We're all racist.
Oh,
I like the fact that he condemned Mitt Romney before he condemned the attack.
Yeah,
that was like, you go, you stay classy, Barack.
Yep.
You stay classy.
Priorities.
you know.
He made his statement on the whole embassy bombing, ambassador getting murdered thing, and then, you know, priorities took over, and he had to fly off to Las Vegas for a fundraiser.
For fun, yeah.
You know, Sasha and Aaliyah sometimes go to embassies.
He made a statement there, too, so I guess, you know.
And I particularly like the, what was it, the Spanish language, was it Telemundo, or was it, which
Telemundo.
One was it? Telemundo, where he was like, oh yes, Egypt, they're not an ally.
Great. Thanks. Terrific. Anyway, if you have a comment on anything, kilts or natural disasters,
please
or
call in.
Middle East or anything, just
call in. Save us from ourselves.
What I like is, you know, it's okay to use predator drones to go after American citizens on American soil, but, you know, God forbid we bomb the fuck out of somebody over there for this shit.
They're not even giving the Marines live ammo. To secure the embassies.
This is the point where this is an attack on U.S. soil.
Oh, sure.
Plain and simple. This is no different than had they overrun my house, which coincidentally would have ended a lot worse for them than what happened.
Because you have ammo.
Because I have ammo and I will shoot back. But,
the response has been,
I'm sorry that something happened somewhere in the world to offend you. We will try to be less offensive. Now, you know, I think the correct response is best delivered by something along the lines of a JDAM. Thank you very much. Hi, try this shit again, and there won't be any of you left.
Jay, there's not any really armor in that country anyway. You've got to use a daisy cutter.
I don't care.
A JDAM will just penetrate into their forsaken soil and just blow up and do no damage. Maybe disrupt the oil a little bit.
Just go in and take it. March in, secure the oil field. Bye.
Hey, we've got a caller.
See this? It's ours now.
Cool.
Area code 305. Hello.
50 a gallon gasoline would re-elect Barack Obama.
You
listening there, BHO?
Hello?
Jay,
hello?
Hello,
305.
Okay, this is Radis again.
Hey.
Hey, Radis.
We love Radis.
I have the flu, so.
I'm sorry. Oh, that sucks.
That's okay.
You called in to give it to us?
Yes.
Well, you can only share if you brought enough for everybody.
Well, I'll see what I can do. But, no, I have my sort of natural disaster story. I've been through several hurricanes, but the one that did the most damage was Wilma. You know, I think 2005. Yeah, I think 2005. I was down in Miami area, and it's blowing pretty good. You know, I had the shutters down and everything on the house, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. We lost power, and the nice thing about it was that evening there was a cold snap. It was the best thing ever. It was, okay, you don't have the AC, but it's, you know, 50 degrees outside.
I think we lost Jay.
Okay.
Good riddance.
You're always losing Jay.
I know.
He'll come back.
But, power's out for a week, cleaning up the branches and everything. But the nice thing was, 2 days later, the neighbor next door gives me bacon. They show up and say, hey. They said, we're giving away this whole thing. So they have like this commercial slab of bacon.
Cool.
Like a couple of pieces, you know. I cook it out in the back on the Monday. They didn't have any power, so they're basically.
Bacon stays good a long time. Oh, they totally missed out on that.
They're lost.
Hey, they were giving it away at their work for some reason. Said, okay, I'll pick some. It's about two, three sheets. You know, it's like, it's about, you know, what you'd have for like two packages of bacon at the store.
Hell yeah. So, awesome.
But
they're talking now that there might be a worldwide bacon shortage. I saw this today and I was like horrified thinking.
No.
Well, it's because of the whole feed issue. You know.
Alan, isn't Texas overrun by feral hogs?
Yes, that's right. It is.
Weird and I can be there in 3 days.
You know, here's the thing.
That, challenge accepted.
I have been told by numerous people that that meat ain't so great.
Hey, if that's all you got, it'll be the.
That's true.
Damn bacon you've had all.
Yeah, fuck that noise. I'm gonna brine it and smoke it until it is good. Challenge accepted. I'll be right there. Let me. Pack
yeah,
up
there's.
FAL.
One of the good things about Texas and. You know, it kind of hurts hunting a little bit because there's virtually no public land in Texas. So,
oh, too bad.
If you're going to hunt hogs, it's going to be on somebody's property. Now,
you gotta
the
know
good
somebody.
The good reason the good news is that lots of people don't like the pigs on their land. So,
yeah,
it's like the prairie dogs in West Texas. A lot of farmers are like, "You want to shoot prairie dogs? Come on down."
I wanted to ask Radis. So you took bacon from this guy, right?
Well, it was the neighbor's wife, though.
So. Okay, so if you didn't have power, how did you cook it?
I had a 1943 white gas stove.
Oh,
nice.
Cool.
Very nice.
Coleman stove?
It was like a Coleman stove. It's U.S. surplus. My dad bought it when he was a Boy Scout. It was awesome.
Nice. Probably,
so, I have three of them.
Probably built to last forever.
Yes, basically. Just a little too tall. You know, when you try to put a large pot of water on it, you know, it basically, yeah, it's just a little too tall. It's about, I'd say about 16 inches tall. And then you put something on top of that, so it's a little top heavy compared to most backpacking stoves. So.
Cool.
But it wasn't so bad. Weeks where, of course, the hot weather returned a couple days later, but.
You know, but you're full of bacon and you didn't care.
Yeah, by that time, no. I didn't care.
That's a good story.
That is good. Sharing the spoils before
every
they spoil.
Every story that ends in bacon is a good story.
Okay. I'll let you go.
Well,
hey, thanks for calling,
Radis.
Yeah, get
better.
Get well. And that call-in number, 214-530-0036.
Is the flu going around?
I don't know. I haven't heard.
I picked up. So I brought something home from Costa Rica.
It's
going away.
Crabs don't.
So you're smuggling diseases now?
That's right. There's big money in it.
Do you have bed bugs? Were there bed bugs in Costa Rica?
No. There were lots of geckos, though.
Cool.
I read that.
Did you bring one home for the boy?
Geckos.
No. No, I just gave them pat-pats and sent them on their way. And listen to our friends who are traveling with, like, could totally freak out with it.
They have the sticky toes and they, like, climb through your walls.
Oh, yeah, they'll run across, like, your ceiling.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
And all that.
Oh, you want, if you you live in a tropical rainforest with no walls, you want geckos.
Oh, yeah.
Because they eat all the bugs,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, cool.
The bugs, actually, were not bad at all.
I read that there were bed bugs in a Los Angeles library.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought there weren't beds in the library, though.
They don't have
hobos
to be beds.
Sleep there.
There just has to be nasty people.
The hobos bring them in, and they sleep in the magazine section.
So we're talking about bed bugs or crab lice?
Yes.
No, bed bugs.
Crotch crickets?
Probably crab lice, too. I don't know.
I was going to say, there's probably
all sorts of lice, I'm sure.
Crotch crickets.
Crotch crickets. Love that.
Cubic
term.
Lobsters.
They'll be regretting that DDT ban here for too long, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Curse you, Rachel Carson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a self-righteous cunt.
Silence.
Just
bring my ass.
Just wait till all the politicians get in bed bug infestations in their houses. And
could happen.
Then we'll just dip into the strategic nuclear reserve.
The strategic DDT reserve.
Or what we can do is we can send them all through the TSA scanners.
Ooh, there you go.
We'll just scan your bed for bed bugs, and then they'll all have cancer.
The bed bugs get cancer and die.
And the ones don't die from cancer, the TSA goons will rape.
I suspect bed bugs are pretty much immune to that kind of stuff, kind of like cockroaches.
I don't think cockroaches are immune to it. They just
radiation doesn't really bother cockroaches that much. They just kind of, you know.
I don't know if I buy that. Is that actually a proven fact, or is that just a legend?
Yeah, it is.
I kind of wonder, because, you know, their DNA is pretty much the same shit as ours.
Yeah, but there's less, I don't know, it's like there's less to be damaged. I don't know. I forget that.
That's actually getting me to put it on mute and going on Google.
All right. Well, you go find out, and we'll take this caller. Hello, area code 610. You are here.
That's Pennsylvania.
Hello, 610.
Hello?
Yes. Hello.
Hello, Score Report?
Yes, it
Hello?
Is.
Hello?
Greetings.
Hey. Hey, this is Andrew. Or I guess you can call me Raptor now that my blog is back up and running.
Oh. Hello.
Congratulations. Yay. On the
hey,
blog.
So, come again?
I said congratulations on your reblogging. Good for you.
Thanks.
Reblogulation.
You know blogs are dead, right?
Oh, stop it. Alan.
I might have to call back on another line because I'm on my cell phone. I can't hardly hear you guys.
Oh.
Okay.
But
can we talk louder?
Signal's not too good.
Okay, call back.
Yes.
But I don't know if I can get a landline. So yeah, never mind. Forget it. Anyway, I have a natural disaster story.
Okay, tell us. We can hear you fine.
I'll just listen to y'all through the feed. There'll be like a 6-second delay or whatever, but whatever. I do have like a natural disaster story for y'all.
Good.
This happened at least 10 years ago, back when I was in grade school. I do live up in Pennsylvania, sort of near Philly. Actually closer to Valley Forge. But anyway, we had about 10 years ago a huge blizzard come through. Only the weather forecasters were calling for a light dusting to an inch.
Oops.
And we wound up getting something like, I don't even remember, it was close to a foot of snow, which for around here, that's like Armageddon. So what wound up happening was everybody bought into the light dusting to an inch, even though you could see on the radar that we had, you know, snowpocalypse coming. So none of the businesses shut down. The local school district didn't shut down. So by 10:30 in the afternoon, we have 6 inches of snow on the ground. Conditions are horrific. And the idiots at the district are saying, well, we'll dismiss school when conditions improve. Well, conditions weren't going to improve. So it just got worse and worse and worse. So finally, by 1 o'clock p.m., they finally decided, okay, screw it, we're dismissing. Big mistake, because now they got students on buses, and the snow, the roads are so bad because the plows can't keep up, because we get snow around here, we might as well be, like, in Texas or something, or Florida, because, like, one flake hits the ground, and it all goes to hell in a handbasket.
Nice.
So the buses, the kids are all on the buses, and the buses can't go anywhere. By 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we had a school bus actually turn onto our street because the main road that he was trying to go down, there were trees down on it. That's another thing. Trees were down everywhere. Everybody, power was out. And so the bus driver told us that it took him about 45 minutes to go about 200 feet, which we believe because we only live like 3-4 miles from the school where he started out. So they had kids on the bus, and this actually isn't so much natural disaster. This is just total bureaucratic screw up. They had kids on the buses until like 7:30 at night.
Oh no! Oh.
It was just a freaking disaster.
Wow,
that's terrible.
They actually finished 99 bottles of beer 3 times.
Unbelievable.
By the end, the bus driver asked us. 3 bottles of beer on the wall.
Yeah, we actually my parents actually we had some like nacho chips and you know Oreo cookies in our cabinet unopened, and these kids they'd been on the bus for you know 3 hours at this point. They had no food. They were starving. So we passed out the nachos and the cookies because the bus couldn't go anywhere because our street wasn't plowed at all. Mm. So we asked the bus driver, you know, is there anything we can get you like a coffee or anything? And the bus driver said, totally serious, to my mother, lady, if you have a bottle of whiskey in there, I'll give you $200 for it.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Nice.
Unfortunately for him, my parents don't drink, so no whiskey was forthcoming. But
oh well.
Oh, that's terrible.
So the district, long story short, the district wound up getting sued up the wazoo because, you know, they had kids. Parents couldn't get to their kids because kids were on the buses. Bus drivers got stuck, and if they were reasonably close to a kid's house or the kid had a friend who was also on the bus, they just let the kid off and say, you know, good luck because you're better off out there than you are in here. But by this point, the snow had stopped, and it was just the roads were all screwed up.
Good luck, kid.
For the next 2 years, this district, I won't name it just because I know people who work there, and I don't want them to get in trouble. The district, for the next 2 years or so, if there was even a hint of a threat of snow in the forecast, school was canceled.
Yeah, they've changed the standards now. When I was a kid, I grew up near, you know, in Cleveland, northeast Ohio, and we get pretty good snow here with the lake effect. And when I was a kid, there would have to be like 2 feet of snow on the ground in the morning, and it was like, well, maybe school will be canceled. We're not sure. Now they close school for like, if it's too cold. Like, what? What is wrong with these children? They can't stand out there in the cold?
It's not the children.
Yeah.
My school used to not be terribly, terribly bad at closures, but the neighboring school district happened to be, like, the one that serviced all the little hinterland towns. And and so there were some kids that had, like, a 45-minute bus ride in the morning. And
they used to kick our asses outside for recess when it was like snow on the ground. It was like up. I was little anyway. I'm little now, but I was littler then. I remember there was like snow up to my thighs some days. They'd kick us out for recess.
Yeah, that's because it's awesome.
Well, you know,
you can't build a snow fort in shallow snow. That shit sucks.
Yeah.
And when it's deep like that, you just have to dig.
I wouldn't know.
Kids these days.
I've never had enough snow to have a snow fort.
Have you ever had enough snow that you can write your name in it?
Yes.
been there, done that. T-shirt. The idea. But now, of course, the district has forgotten that lesson, and I swear, I mean, every other district in the state will shut down, and this one will still be open. The zombie apocalypse, I kid you not, could be happening right now, and that they would not close schools. They would call up the teachers to say, get your butt in here or you're fired.
Interesting.
Well, that's probably a cyclical thing. Is like when they have like they make a bad call and it's a nasty storm, they're pressed to be a little more conservative with calling the snow days. And then suddenly, once they start being a little more conservative calling the snow days and the kids are going to school in August.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then parents aren't so happy. Would kids have to miss summer camp because they're in class?
Yeah, we our district is set up so that doesn't happen. We have a set number of I guess how it works is, you know, set number of days that we can go into summer, and then you start losing holidays. You start losing first it's spring break, then I don't know, if it's early enough Thanksgiving, you lose in service days, you lose half days. After that, I don't know. But the thing is, even the district not closing down notwithstanding, we rarely ever have, like, snow days around here. I mean, we get ice really bad, but they don't always close school for ice.
They basically just judge it here, especially they judge it on how bad the roads are. The roads in Cleveland have to be really, really bad for them to start closing things. You know, you could have like 3-4 inches of snow on the roads and people are still driving and it's not a big deal. You know, just it turns into slush and you go slow and, you know, what's the problem? I don't know. We know how to drive in snow. But when it starts getting really bad, you know, I know it's really bad when they close the library.
That's, yeah.
That you is guys the limit. Know how
to, you guys know how to drive in snow.
Yeah,
people around here, they don't know how to drive. Period. Yeah.
Just in general,
I kid you not. I've been run off, nearly run off the road by the same car in the same spot twice. My hand to God, one time I witnessed some nut in the middle of another snowstorm. This was years later. Actually, it was after the snowstorm, but the roads were still crap. A guy in a BMW Z3 Roadster trying to go up a hill near my house. I say trying because the car was pointed up the hill. It was, I assume, in first gear. And I, based on the way the wheels were spinning, I assume he had the accelerator planted to the firewall, but the car was going backwards.
Cool.
And here's the kicker. It's below freezing, and this knucklehead has the top down.
What? That is crazy.
Yeah.
Madness. Yeah,
Brilliant.
But at least he had the heat on high.
I do. I really, maybe it's just the chaos lover in me that, you know, every year you get those YouTube videos of the cars running into each other on the ice,
yeah.
You know, and somebody will set their webcam up on a balcony and on a downhill thing. And you'll just see just car after car after car come sliding down and bash into the next one. And just, I love it.
it's funny. Except when you're in my position, which is trying to go through the intersection at the bottom of the hill, and you look out your window and you see, oh, crap, that car is worth more than my entire life savings, and it's coming straight at me.
Well, if he hits you, you're golden. Just get a good lawyer. Hello?
Yeah.
good lawyer or no, it was my father's car.
Oops.
Golden or not, I'm still going to be 6 feet under in a pine box if the car gets totaled.
Yeah, you're screwed there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. That was a good story.
Yeah.
The
ability to drive in the different climates is a great one. My wife went to school in North Carolina, and she was talking about, like, yeah, when they'd get, like, a dusting of snow, she'd go out and she'd be the ruler of the wastelands.
Yes.
She was the Lord Humongous.
Yep.
Well, hey, that's the thing. I've noticed with Southerners, they're like, well, we don't have the infrastructure for snow. We don't have any plows and we don't have any salt and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, do you have this picture in your head that in Northeast Ohio in February when we're having a blizzard, that the roads are somehow perfectly clear because we have plows? That's not the way it works at all. The roads are really, most of the time, pretty messy and, you know, slippery. And it's not like they're perfectly clear because we have plows and salt.
Boston gets really hairy. I mean, a northeast city like that, you'd think that they'd actually know how to remove snow. But there's been many a time where it snows and the cars just pack it down and then it freezes.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, and the other problem is
that's like my driveway for most of the winter.
They can't dump the snow into the harbor.
And, Jay, you're not allowed to have salt, are you?
Well, oh, my.
Because it might run into the ocean, and the ocean might get salty.
Yeah, exactly. We wouldn't want to harm the delicate infrastructure. And I'm like, you know what? When a car goes off the road and crashes and all the nasty shit that's inside a car engine leaks into the fucking pond, guess what? It's worse than a little bit of extra salt, you fucking nitwit.
Also, you got to be careful because snow is mostly made of water, and so you don't want the pond to get wet.
Well, my favorite is, you know, there was like a big thing. I want to say it was New Jersey where they actually got caught dumping snow into the river.
What?
I'm like, what do you think happens when it melts?
Yeah.
You know, because the thinking is that, well, this is treated snow. It's got salt and sand and blah, 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 blah. And if you dump it into the water, it's going to change the ecosystem. You know what? When you pile it up, it fucking melts. And you know what? It takes that shit with it.
Yep.
Plain and simple, it's going to wind up there anyway, and it's not going to make a damn bit of difference, all right? We're not dumping raw toxic waste into the harbor. You're talking about plowed snow.
Jay, you don't want the ocean to get sandy.
I remember the first time I saw a big pile of snow in the parking lot.
Hey, Alan, tell a snowbrush story. This is
oh, God.
Tell the snowbrush story.
Oh, man.
It's a good
Alan,
story. It's so funny.
Okay. Alan was around when the snowbrush was invented.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, true.
No, okay. Y'all know I'm from, like, the South, and we don't get a whole lot of snow.
Ever.
Ever.
And you don't have the infrastructure.
That's right. We don't have the infrastructure. So, anyway, I was up, I forget where I was. I was in some northern city where there's, like, snow and shit, and I had a rental car. I think it was Minneapolis, or I don't remember where it was. Anyway, that's not the point. So, you know, they do the this rental car place, and you know, I go out and I get the car and I open up the trunk and I go to put my suitcase in, and there's this like brush thing in there, and I was like, oh, I just thought, oh, well, the cleaning guy left his like broom in there or something, and so the car lot attendant was walking by, and I kind of picked it up. I waved it at him. I said, "Hey, man, somebody left their cleaning brush in the car."
Their cleaning brush.
And the guy looked at me, and like I was like
stupid,
stupid, right? And he goes,
"No wonder you boys lost that war."
Yeah, and he goes, wow. he goes, "That's a snow brush. We put them in all the cars." And I was like, "Oh."
How is one to use a snow? You start combing your hair with it.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay,
it snows.
For when it snows, apparently, and I kind of figured out on my own. I guess you know you brush the snow off,
and then you scrape the ice.
Yeah,
and then brush some more. You scrape some more.
Yeah. So, but I'd never seen one before in a car. I didn't know what the hell it was.
Hilarious.
So there you go, my ignorant story, and we have a caller. Thank God.
Yeah,
Alan said, yep.
Area code 516. Hello.
Ring. Telephone.
Save me, please.
Yep.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
516. Hello.
I love you, caller.
This is crazy. But here's our number.
Yeah.
So call us, maybe.
Hello. Going once. Hello. Going twice.
I hear something.
Yeah, I hear something too.
I think there's an orc on the line.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Oh, they hung up.
Oh, damn it.
It was Skippy.
Yeah. I don't know.
Damn it.
Skippy.
Harbanger.
Our number is 214-530-0030.
If that was you that just hung up, call back. We'd love to hear
Jay,
from you.
You met Larry Correa. He's fucking huge. He's a gigantic dude.
Okay, here's the caller calling back.
He's a large boy.
Wait, we have a caller. Wait.
Hello, 516.
Hey, how you doing? Glenn B.
Glenn B.
Hey, I know that dude.
Hey, the worst storm, worst weather I've ever been through was on election day in 2008. There wasn't one snowstorm. There wasn't one rainstorm. There wasn't one hailstorm. The weather was beautiful. People came out and voted, and look what we wound up with.
Natural disaster.
That's a good one.
That is a disaster.
That may be the worst natural disaster we've had on tonight.
Glenn B, you insensitive racist. Eat a tortilla.
Yeah.
And go light your Kwanzaa menorah.
I'm gonna have a quick PBJ, and I'm gonna dream about Jay and that man skirt tonight. Oh.
Have your racist PBJ.
Yeah, there you go. Cool.
Oh, yes.
I didn't hear anybody else really mention a disaster. I figured that was the biggest disaster we've all lived through. So.
Yep. Yeah. I agree. That is. Good one.
Alan lived through Carter, too, so.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This one's worse.
Alan lived through Woodrow Wilson.
Warren G. Harding.
Hey. Hey, thanks for calling, Glenn.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good night.
Alan, was the Polk administration as bad as they say it is?
Yes.
Glenn has the most amazing New York accent.
He does. Boy, he does. Yeah, that surprised me. I didn't realize he was from here.
He's on Long Island, isn't he?
He's Long Island.
Yeah, Long Island.
Long Island. And as you can't tell, other than when his mouth is open.
Earlier in the show, I had I believe my friend Hank requested a leg update.
Hey. Oh, wait.
Do we have a caller? Please say
no, but I'm looking. But I'm looking for a leg update sound effect.
There's no sound effect for this. Okay, that's fine.
that is a good one.
That works.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Brita's leg. Where do I start? I got the new leg. I put it on for maybe 6 hours, not all together, kind of broken up. And then after those 6 hours, I couldn't walk. Ta-da! Because everything was fucked up. And my body decided, oh no, we're not doing this. Fuck you. And so all of Labor Day weekend, I was stuck on the couch. And I've been using crutches and, like, pretty much only walking when I have to go to work or do something important. So I've been, like, stuck, you know, not walking, getting grumpier and grumpier and crabbier every day. So today I had an appointment, hooray, and I went to go get an adjustment. And my prosthetist cut another hole in the carbon fiber, and it's pretty cool. It's like a what is the thing on the side of a ship?
Porthole.
Porthole. It's like a porthole on the side of my leg. It's really cool. And it has kind of released the pressure, so I'm starting to learn how to walk with that. I'm still having a little bit of issues, but I think it's going to work out. I have repainted my toenails. I bought a slinky. They're like a really pretty kind of plum color.
Have you put on the bikini yet, Brita?
No, the bikini's going to have to wait unless I go somewhere tropical because it's like, you know, it's almost fall now, so.
Well, what you can do is you can put it on in front of a camera.
We don't have cameras. That's not this kind of show. I bought, like, a slinky dress to wear with my new leg, so cool. Maybe, like, you know,
that'll
for
work.
Fall, I'll be good with that, so.
How slinky are you talking, Brita?
It's pretty slinky and pretty nice.
A dress made out of slinkies?
Yes. It pinches.
What if I don't want it to be nice? What if nasty is a better word?
Well.
Then you call her Miss Jackson.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But today went pretty well, and we're working on it. And, you know, cross your fingers. Here's hoping.
By the way, was it like doing like irritating your leg where you get like red and angry or just uncomfortable?
I was the way a prosthesis is held on is, you know, they put pressure in certain points and they try to keep your leg suspended so you're not bottoming out into the bottom of the leg. It's hard to explain, but they try to suspend your leg inside the prosthesis. And the way they do that is they create pressure around, like, under your knee, kind of. Like, for me, it'd be under my knee. So, you know, they try to create this framework that holds me. And I'm having pressure where I've never had pressure before because it's a completely new system. And my bones are angry with me, apparently. And, but I wore it today for like an hour and a half and I was walking really good. And then after an hour and a half, my bones said, okay, done. So, but it's progress. I don't know.
Yeah. Imagine.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Imagine the worst pair of shoes you never broke in and then wore for a long time times 100.
Pretty much.
Ouch.
plus everything else. Yeah. So. Yeah. But the toes are rocking. They look really good.
Cool. That's what's important.
We're going with that.
Right.
It's not how you feel. Yeah. It's how you look.
That's right.
Yeah. Brita, have you put bacon between your toes?
Not yet. I'm waiting.
Bacon.
But so that's where we are.
Bacon sandals.
And, but I think it looks cool, and I'm happy with it, but I just would like to wear it more.
I'm sure you'll get
anyway,
there. Thanks for the leg report.
You're welcome.
Actually, I got one more question, Brita. When you
is this about the bikini again?
No,
I'm going to be good.
All right.
I've misbehaved enough for right now.
Okay.
But the you know, I don't have to go to the naughty chair. But the when you're saying, you know, you don't, when you, you know, don't wear it, do you still have your old leg that you can switch back to, or?
Yeah, I do have my old leg.
And does that work, or is your leg just so
barely
new one now?
Let's just say barely.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about your Lord Harkonnen hover belt?
That is working out really well. The hover belt is a godsend.
Yeah, God Empress Brita is okay.
That's right.
All right.
The spice must flow.
Hey, we have a caller.
Excellent.
Yep. Yay.
Area code 210.
210, San Antonio, Texas. That's got to be Chris.
That's me. What's happening, y'all?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Now, I know
Chris.
There are no natural disasters in San Antonio. I know this.
No. Actually, it's raining outside right now, so that in and of itself may qualify.
What?
It's raining.
You just had fast disasters in San Antonio.
Yeah, that may qualify as a natural disaster here. Water's actually falling from the sky.
Are you going to go out and drive 85 on the tollway to Austin?
No, because it'll be a cold day in hell before I pay to drive on a road. I'll do 85 on I-10 going from home to work.
There you go. Along with everyone else. That's what made me laugh about those reports that were like, oh my God, 85 miles an hour. Oh, the humanity. I'm like, really? Have you not driven on the highway in Texas?
Yeah. You can.
We've got a lot of it.
If you're going 75 on a highway on an interstate in Texas, you're getting passed left and right.
Oh, that's the honest truth. And God help you if you're in Dallas or Houston. It's not a problem in Austin because the traffic doesn't move at all in Austin. But Houston and especially Dallas, good Lord, if you're doing 75, you're getting passed.
Yep.
And you're getting the finger.
Unless there's a wreck and then everybody's just sitting there not doing anything.
I don't know if anything could top driving in northern Maine. I'm in my little Plymouth. I've got the accelerator mashed to the floor. I'm going 95. The gerbils under the hood are screaming bloody murder. And I'm getting passed by logging trucks.
Holy crap.
I'm talking about filled to overflow with giant 3-foot pines. And when it changed lane, when the trucks changed lanes going around me, they're like rocking side to side. I'm going, this is a fucking horror movie, right?
Yeah, I hate those log trucks. I always I get around them. I always slow down and let them pass me because I'm not, it just, yeesh, no.
Mm-mm. I'm like, I'm going 95. And he's passing me at a damn good clip. He's going well into the three digits here.
Nope.
Well, you know, it's entirely possible you were driving a Plymouth, and maybe your speedometer was just fucked up.
I love that he called Jay's truck a Plymouth. That was awesome.
No, this is years ago. This is long before I ran.
That's funny.
Was that when you were driving the Cadillac M1 Abrams?
It was the car I had before the It was one of the two cars I had that led to me getting the Cadillac. The Plymouth Sundance is the one that got T-boned, and I bought a van which got rear-ended, and then I went
Was that the pig van?
The pig van, yes, the 1984 Toyota DX. It looked like a
Toyota. I was about to say, when you got a van, I'm like, oh, you got a shaggin' wagon. But then I realized, oh, wait, no, I've heard about this van. It used to have pigs.
It carried pigs for the UNH farm school.
It smelled like shit on warm days.
Wow. Yeah, you weren't going to get any in that van.
No, I was married anyway, so it didn't matter. I wasn't getting any anyway. So, but it did have one neat thing where one of the, you know, it had all kinds of electrical shorts and whatnot. And occasionally going down the highway, the headlights would just go out. But because it was an old Toyota van, you sat like over the headlights. So all I had to do was reach down and kick the floorboard and they'd come back on.
Nice.
Oh, that is entirely awesome.
Very convenient. I could work on it in the rain too, because you access the engine from the driver's seat.
Oh.
Yep.
Spiffy.
Yeah, it was the weirdest damn thing I've ever seen. And of course, right after I, you know, fixed it all up, got it running good, some idiot in a Ford Explorer in the rain plowed into me at about 60. Oh, I got anti-lock brakes. I don't know what happened. You were going 65 in the fucking rain, moron. That's what happened. Ooh.
If only he had properly inflated his tires, then he wouldn't burn any gas.
If only he hadn't had his head up his ass. Thanks for the time on the fucking neck board, jackass.
Ooh.
No, that's a big build rage go meter, like a little bit of road rage for JG there, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, I mean, it shattered the back window like you see in the movies. I mean, it shattered the side. That's how hard he hit me.
Wow. And, but did he hit you twice?
No, he didn't hit me. He didn't hit me twice because he went through me. Because,
well, yeah, but, you know, Rita got hit twice.
He couldn't detach his vehicle from mine. He mounted me.
Right?
Oh, no.
That's worse than getting hit twice. He was mounted from the rear.
I was his drunk sorority girl for the afternoon. But yeah, it was neat. I mean, I had like 3 10-gallon buckets filled with sand for extra weight in the back. And they were launched from the back up into the driver's seat. Like, one of them went basically through the middle seat. It actually folded it down. Oh. And there's supposed to be a lever that does that. But that's how hard the impact was.
Oops.
Yeah, Was I killed? Yes, I was killed. I actually died 3 times. No, I was wearing my seatbelt, and because of the design of the van, I was as far away from the impact as humanly possible inside the vehicle. But it hurt like hell.
And your lawyer made you wear the neck brace?
You know, I didn't get a lawyer for that one because I just couldn't be bothered, and you know, it was hard enough trying to separate the injuries from that accident from the accident in my Plymouth, and I was so happy to see that Cadillac, all 97 feet of it and 48,000 ton displacement.
You could
climbed into that thing.
Your Honor, thanks to this accident, my client has been unable to have sex.
Yeah, but then they saw the ring. I said, oh, no, never mind.
That's the nice thing. What year Cadillac was it?
83.
Oh.
Good Lord.
Yeah, not that big, but
that was the nice thing about the 70s Cadillacs, man. They had that trunk that was like it didn't matter if somebody rear-ended you in those things because the trunk absorbed so much energy. You were like, oh, what was that? Did somebody
Alan, that's very inconsiderate of you because that would hurt the family that you sublet.
Well, the 83 was still a pretty big trunk because that was the car that I had. The 4 snow tires off my wife's car were in the trunk, and I still had enough room in the trunk to carry all of my camping gear and a week's worth of groceries and had room left over.
Cool.
It was awesome. I'm pulling everything out. People are looking into the trunk going, are there tires in there?
So it's that was a solid 6-body trunk then.
No, this was about a 13 or 14.
Oh, wow.
Not that I tested it, of course. That would be wrong.
But did Uncle Carmine test it?
Uncle Carmine borrowed it, and he gave me $50 to forget about the smell, and we were good.
Kids are so deprived these days. Not only do they have cars with big trunks, they don't have drive-ins to sneak people in with them.
Oh, God.
You know?
This thing, you could have snuck in your family, 3 families down the block, a couple of tables.
And there's still room for the Mexican family that's subletting into it.
I had a buddy in high school. I had a car like that. It was a 76 Lincoln Continental Mark IV.
Oh, jeez.
At the time, it was one of the largest two-door cars ever produced in Detroit. This thing was massive. It was 19 and three-quarters feet from the frontmost part of the front bumper to the rearmost part of the rear bumper.
And, had a 460.
Had a 460 that came out not long after it was acquired for a nice healthy tuning. And I got to say, you know, Lincoln has a baby smooth ride even back in the 70s at the shocking speed of land yacht 140 miles an hour.
Ooh.
Yep.
It's kind of scary at first, but after a while you get used to it.
By the way, for those following at home, that's about 200 knots.
And it had the similar trunk, which, being a Lincoln, it was pretty nice. It had the trunk release inside the cab, and it was one of those trunks you don't slam it. You just gently close it, and it clicks every time. So we decided that the best way to make use of this feature would be to put a couple of buddies in the trunk and just drive around town and, on the Friday and Saturday nights do the cruising thing. And me and my buddy would be up in the front two seats. And when we'd pull up to a red light, somebody would pull up behind us. We'd just pop the trunk, and our buddies would reach up and give them a quick wave and then grab the lid and pull it back down.
Are you going to have a sign that says help?
Yep. Cool.
Hey, Wiley Coyote style.
Thanks for calling. We got some more people on the line here. So
thanks for
have a good weekend.
Chris.
See you, Chris.
The trunk monkey.
Yeah, I think we got another caller. Yes.
Thought we had another caller.
It's MDev.
He needs his own sound.
Does MDev need theme music?
He totally does.
Wow. He needs the tactical Tupperware intro theme.
Oh, does he?
Dun, dun, dun.
Let me see if I have tactical Tupperware theme music.
Wow. I didn't realize I was a
superhero
or a...
What?
How are the squirrels doing?
They're happy.
The squirrels are good today.
Oh, okay.
Actually,
good.
You mean my squirrels?
You know what, Frida? I'm always interested in your squirrels.
Are those sweater squirrels?
No. I'm not wearing a sweater.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
How are you tonight, MDev? What's going on?
You know, I had a pretty crap-tacular day at work, so... I need a little squirrel report therapy. All I can say is nothing makes a 275-pound guy wearing a Kevlar vest quiver like getting an email from your boss saying, "My office, 15 minutes, need to talk."
Oops.
I felt about 6 inches high as I'm like walking in. It feels like I'm going to the principal's office.
Oh, no.
Was everything like, okay?
What did you do?
Oh yeah, I actually turned out to be a total like non issue. He just didn't think before he sent the 3-word email.
Perfect. Finally.
My boss is a very good boss, but not that effective of a communicator. So sometimes she doesn't realize that, sarcasm and other things don't come across in email and text messages the same way. So,
yeah.
It turned out to be like a total, non-issue. Oh, sign on the dotted line. You forgot to file, XYZ BS paperwork. But it was just one of these things where I'm like, because his office is not in the same building as mine. It's like 25 minutes away. So I'm driving there, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, thinking about every time I've, used my personal cell phone while I was at work or this or that. I'm like, what did I get caught doing,
Oops.
it turned out to be a complete non-issue.
Oh, well, that's
but,
good.
You know, it just kind of sets up your day, and it's like, and then, of course, you know, I come back, and everybody's in an extra bitchy mood.
So, have you ever lived through a natural disaster, MDev?
Well, you know, funny thing you should say that, because I had a minor disaster that turned into a major disaster by the people I was with.
Oh.
That can happen.
So, you know, I live in the Seattle metro area. And in the when we get a half an inch of snow, it's like, you know, the city shuts down and people on the East Coast start just laughing at us.
Yes.
You know, and then that's fine. Well, we lost power for 3 days. And, you know, I've got a pretty decent 72-hour kit. And, you know, some water and food and enough Coleman camp stoves to last at least through the first zombie apocalypse. So, for me, it was troubling but not crippling. But I learned, because this is the first disaster that my wife and I have gone through, that she has, you know, extra special emotional needs when the power goes out and isn't really sufficient with, yeah, just grab a mini mag light. That should be enough light for the house, you know. And it's one of those things where I realized, for me, it realized preparedness is more than, you know, it's more than guns in the closet, and it's more than, you know, a 72-hour kit. It's the mental preparedness that we had not done together. And, you know, I'm happy to say that since then, we have kind of remedied that situation. The big mistake I made was, because we had just moved into a new house, was we had a fireplace that we had never used, and we had a half a quart of firewood. And I didn't realize that the fireplace did not, like, properly vent. So I pretty well turned my house into a smoker with the first big fire I built. And I was like, oh, shit, this smoke's going the wrong way.
When life gives you lemons, hang bacon.
So you made your house into a smoker, is what you're saying.
Because the neighbor dogs wouldn't shut up through this process, I was pretty close to saying, you know, we're going to have a little walk-in smoker here real quick. So yeah, it was a minor disaster. It was a 3-day power outage and some snow. And, you know, I had to have chains on the truck and whatever. But it was a much bigger deal. And really the biggest deal was, you know, I made the decision to continue to go to work because I was able to get my truck out, which then left her at home. And, you know, you kind of get to that decision of, like, which is more important. And, you know, she's a perfectly capable adult, but sometimes there's just an unwritten, why don't you take the week off work and come hang out with me?
Yeah.
So,
yep.
I don't know. That was my kind of the closest thing I've ever had, because all we get in the Northwest are, like, floods. But a flood isn't really a flood out here. And I'm going to be the guy that, you know, the sheriff's department is going to be using as the example of, when we say evacuate, we mean evacuate, damn it.
Are you the guy that tries to drive through the 3-foot deep puddle?
Don't do that.
He's the guy sitting on his roof waiting for a boat.
He's sitting on the overpass going, oh, why don't they send someone to save me?
No, I'm just, my whole thing is, I don't expect anybody to save me, but don't dare try and evict me either. You know, I understand that if I decide to stay at my place, then I give up the right to call 911 and say, oh, shit just got real. But, you know, the flip side of that is, leave me the hell alone.
Cool. Thanks for calling, MDev.
The weekly MDev call.
You need theme music.
This song or something.
Yeah.
See ya. Get some more callers and, you know, remember that HK doesn't pay this anymore. Now just Weekly Magazine does.
Okay. For anybody that's still wondering, that call-in number is 214-530-0036. Use it. Or we'll just sit here and be quiet.
I looked it up, and cockroaches do have a higher resistance to radiation than humans do.
Yes, they do.
But really, Drosophila melanogaster, the common common fruit fly, is wicked radiation resistant. You could fucking put those sons of bitches in the microwave.
That's why they are huge animal for genetic testing.
Fruit flies, and they reproduce really fast. Yeah, so
very quickly, you can see changes in the genotype very quickly, very rapidly. It's like
because you could see their chromosomes with the naked eye. No, their chromosomes are fucking huge.
They got big, beautiful chromosomes, baby.
Yeah,
chromosomes on that Drosophila.
Again, that call-in number, 214-530-0036.
We've got 15 minutes left. You know, I wanted to bring this up, and I don't think anybody knew this beforehand, but you're all racists, and the Squirrel Report chat is, like, active all the time.
That's not true, it is.
Yeah, I wanted to bring this up because I don't think people know this, is that if you go to the Squirrel Report chat and log in, it's active all the time.
Yes, so, it is. You're welcome.
You know, yeah, thank Alan for that because he set it up as pretty cool. But it's usable all the time. So I don't know if maybe a couple of you all want to get together and chat about something. You could always use the Squirrel Report chat. There's no reason why you can't.
Yep.
It's better than Craigslist.
That's right.
try to keep it clean.
Oh, look, a caller.
Something.
Yay. But,
area code 661.
Oh, that's a new one.
Where is that? 661?
661.
661?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello.
That's you.
Hello.
Yes, that's you. Hello.
Hi, Alan.
Hello.
Hi, mystery caller.
Am I really that quiet, or can you hear me well, and I just can't hear myself?
You can't hear yourself.
Can't hear yourself. Can you hear us?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you all just fine.
Okay.
Your breed is crickets.
I can hear myself in the background on about a 3-second delay.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't listen to yourself.
Turn the volume down.
Yep.
Okay, so what area code am I calling in on this time?
It says 661.
Is that Kevin Bacon?
I don't know. Yes, it is.
Hey, well, Kevin.
It's the other Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
I could tell because he's trying to be incognito.
Bacon.
There's going to be a shortage of you.
That's right.
Yeah, so I heard.
How's it going, Kevin?
How's Gunblogger Rendezvous, Kevin?
The rendezvous was good. I had a great time. And you guys have got to go.
It's on the agenda, along with Boomer Shoot.
It's that whole money thing. I don't know.
It's that whole flying all over the damn country. When I get back from Colorado, I will have flown 4 times this year.
Insane.
I flew once from 2000 until 2010. Once in a decade. I flew one time. This year, 4.
Damn blogs.
Well, your cherry has popped, isn't it?
God damn, yeah.
Are you getting to know the TSA agent at your local airport on a personal basis?
Yeah, pretty much. I've got my own line now.
Yeah.
Jay, did you wear the kilt?
I'm going to wear the kilt when I fly out to Colorado, I think.
And Jay, make sure. I know sometimes, I hope I'm not giving away a huge trade secret, but a word on the street is Jay sometimes cheats on the kilt.
Uh-oh.
When you go through the TSA... Do not cheat on the kilt. Kelly got through all the TSA screenings thanks to his kilt. Because he said, you know, they said, you know, sir, what are you wearing? I'm wearing a kilt. You know, are you Scottish? No, I'm not. What are you wearing under the kilt? Well, it's a kilt. If I was wearing anything under it, it'd be a dress. And they said, you can go now, sir.
Do you know what's worn under a kilt?
Penis.
Nothing's worn. It's all in good working order.
Yeah. It's penis. The answer
we have
penis.
Kevin Bacon.
Yes, we do.
Kevin Baker on the line.
That's
Are you wearing a kilt, Kevin?
No, I am not wearing a kilt. I'm sorry.
Better do you own a kilt? That.
I do not own a kilt.
Oh.
But Baker's a Scottish.
And I have Scottish ancestry, as a matter of fact.
Well, then you should get on that. Come on. It's a, it's the new thing. Join All the guys us. Are
yeah,
doing it.
Yes.
I've never been a joiner. Sorry.
I'm Italian, for crying out loud. The closest we come to a kilt is a freaking toga. All right?
Actually, those little, what were those things that the centurions wore? The little...
tunics.
The
dresses.
I was thinking the little skirt thing with the armor on it.
Yeah. Those are called prom dresses.
Okay.
I took 4 years of Latin, trust me.
Okay. Hey, Kevin?
Yes, sir.
So, what's your, do you have a disaster?
The closest thing we had to a disaster out here was a flood in like 83. And the only effect it really had on us was the streets are hard to get around in the area that my parents lived in, the house I lived in, got cut off for about 2 days.
I bet storm drains really aren't a big factor out there. They probably don't.
The thing I like about Arizona, we've had, I think, one tornado that wasn't much. We had some pretty serious fires up in the mountains, but not down here because there's not that much to burn. We don't get floods more than called the 100-year flood. So that gives you an idea of how often that happens. We don't get hurricanes. We don't get snow. We don't have earthquakes. We don't have mudslides. We just have 4 months of heat. So
yeah,
it's not a bad place to live.
You have more than 4 months of heat.
Not really.
Yeah, you do.
Five at the outside. 4.5 months.
Chickens.
You know, so it's just not that. It's a nice place to live, and we don't have really all that much in the way of bugs, except for some really goddamn huge thing. That. Yeah, but you know. They're not hard to keep down.
They glow in the dark.
If you shine a UV light on them, they do.
Black light,
yeah.
They do.
That's so cool. It's like a little desert, a little desert night show. Light show.
How's that hard lemonade, Alan?
I don't know. Oh, God.
But, yeah, you guys, you know, come on out to the... To the rendezvous next year, assuming that we still have an economy.
Yeah, that's a big if.
That's a big if at this point.
If so, Jay and I will hitch up the covered wagon.
Yeah. It'll take a while to drive that one out.
Not when you see how Jay drives.
Keep whipping those damn horses.
So when?
Well, what's so interesting is Jay has a 400 horse minimum, so that's kind of weird.
Hey, Jay.
Yes?
He asked about Blogorado. When?
What about it?
When?
I'm sorry.
When is it?
Columbus Day weekend.
Columbus Day weekend. Hey!
I'm hoping to be able to kill some small furry animals.
Oh, cool.
Me too.
Yeah, but you kill them by petting them to death, weird.
No, he doesn't pet them. He wraps them.
I sometimes kill them with CO2.
Oh, where's that... Where's that dolphin sound again?
No.
Oh, you pig fucker. That's right. I called you a pig fucker.
You can't find a good dolphin sound when you need one. Damn it.
What about a pig fucker sound?
I don't have that.
How about a bear fucker?
There.
A salamander.
You sons of bitch.
Hey, cool. Thanks for calling, Kevin.
Kevin.
Got,
yeah, you sounded desperate, so I thought I'd help.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's always good to hear from you.
That's right.
Talk to you later.
See ya. Have a good weekend. And we got another caller.
Yay!
Everybody calls at the end.
It is Brita's nemesis.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yeah. Oh, man. Where's the...
No, I just have to do that every time he calls.
Oh.
I'll be the sound effect.
Okay.
What the hell?
It's the nemesis sound effect.
I have to make my own freaking sound effect?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Hi,
da, 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 da.
How are you?
Hi, darling. Hello, Nemesis. How are you, darling?
Good.
Oh, God. So what the hell are we talking about tonight? I'm sorry I fell asleep on the couch. I'm coming late.
Did you have a good dream?
Always with your naps.
Wow.
We're talking about surviving natural disasters, and given that you are from South America, I'm sure you've had a few.
Natural disasters, a flood, an earthquake, and hurricanes in South Florida. That's about it. I mean, nothing new.
And communist
quick story. Quick story. This was right after Katrina that hit us here. It was Category 1, but we ended up without power. So one night, it's like 2 in the morning, I got every freaking window and door open. I'm sitting outside my front door having a cigarette. Mom and my mom are sleeping inside. Here comes a little car with, you know, three little young fellas, you know, that didn't belong to the neighborhood. And they drive by, you know, they're looking at me, saying, what is this fat asshole doing outside? About 3 minutes later, they drive by again, slower this time, just looking at me. It's like, that fat guy looks like, you know, he could be, you know, an easy mark.
Hmm.
They drive by again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I'm sitting, it's like, no, you cannot be that freaking stupid. You're in South Florida. Don't do that. Lo and behold, about 2-3 minutes again, they drive by, this time they stop, doors open. I reach inside the door. And, you know, it's amazing. I had a lamp inside the house on so they could see my silhouette. And it's true what they say, that it's a profile of an AK-47 is one of the most recognizable signs ever. Sons of bitches look at me. I don't point at them. I just, you know, just raise it up. I do like a Wolverine thing. I don't know what happened. The only thing I saw is like three doors all of a sudden closing and the little freaking white Japanese light burner disappearing.
Nice.
Did you say it, Miguel? Did you say it? Please tell me you said it.
Wolverine? No, no, no.
My little friend. Come on.
No. I went, Wolverine, it is. Yeah. You know. Oh, that's But that's
no,
about
that. He said, hello, gentlemen. I believe you may want to rob me. This is a very valuable piece of hardware that I have. Maybe you would like some of it.
Hey, no, listen. Okay, just real quick. You remember all the horror stories about looting in New Orleans and during Katrina, right?
Yes.
During the same time, so we got hit by Katrina, and then we got hit by Wilma. We got hit before by all the other ones. Have you anyone of you recall one single incident of looting in South Florida?
No.
It's because we shoot the sons of bitches.
Nice.
And it's true. In South Florida, the first thing you'll see is people. It's like, okay, here's the water. I got the food. I got the ice. 25 rounds for the AK-47. They're fully honey.
Stop.
get the ammo out. You know, and it's like that. So that's pretty much it. And I just want to say, Rita, I don't care what Nancy says. I never cheated on you with her.
Oh.
I love you.
Oh.
Just because you were
my heart's melting. It's a little dusty in here.
Okay, that's it. I think you guys are going over the time. Yeah. I'm out of here. Love you, Rita.
I love you, too.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
I love you, too, Miguel.
Bye. Hey, that's my Miguel.
And,
We love you a long time, Miguel.
We're out of time.
Yeah, we are.
Say goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. Thanks, bye, everybody, for tuning in and
thanks for
hanging
listening
out with us.
And, I love you, Internet.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah, with something.
Yep.
Not me. I quit.
Yeah.
You can't fire me. I quit. I just don't fit.
All right.
Good night.
Everybody have a good weekend. Bye.
Ciao.
Bye.